We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 87, verses 41 through verse 50. Prayers personified Vedas. Dhyupataya eva te nayaya rantam anantataya tamapi arantaran Tanichaya nanu sabaranaha Kavivarajan sivan divaya sasahaya shutayas Chaihi falantyatan nirasanena bhavan niranaha. Translation. Because you are unlimited, neither the lords of heaven nor even you yourself can ever reach the end of your glories. The countless universes, each enveloped in its shell, are compelled by the wheel of time to wander within you, like particles of dust blowing about in the sky. The Shrutis, following their method of eliminating everything separate from the Supreme, become successful by revealing you is their final conclusion. Mukam makarati vachala bangam langayate gini yakupantanam bande shigurum gnatavinam om gyana tingranasya gyananjana sharakaya chakshuramitam yena tasamai shigurave. So what do you remember from Burijan's classes? Last week? Yes?
This world is temporary.
The world is temporary, but
temporarily real.
Okay, Ari Purush? Okay. They criticize the hypocrite, renunciate, and glorify even the failing devotees. Because there is no failure in devotional service. Yes? The sages freed from false pride live in the places of pilgrimage and the places where Krishna had his pastimes. Anything else? Yes, Abhay? Let me never forget the your reality. Okay. Yes, there are many dimensions of reality. Yes?
Neither soul or neither.
Neither the soul or the material nature are ever born. Okay.
Like bubbles.
Yeah, the form of the body is compared to bubbles.
And after they emerge in Krishna.
Right, and then emerge in Krishna. Right.
Like water.
Like rivers going to the ocean, or like.
Or the flower.
Different nectars becoming honey. Okay. Yes. That sounds like tomorrow's class. Huh? 40, okay. 40th verse, okay. Well, oh yeah, I remember now, yeah. It's about when people criticize you and falsely. Yeah, right. Yeah, verse 40, yeah, okay, we'll get it. We'll hear it again tomorrow because it's important. Or maybe, no, it's tomorrow, for sure. Yeah, devotees suffer because just to increase their longing for Krishna. And what was the other one? To keep the confidentiality of bhakti and to protect the opinions of the materialists. The devotees suffer. Another possible cause is offenses. Okay? But as long as you're hearing Bhagavatam, then you're free from the miseries.
Protect the opinions of the materialists.
Because, you know, they think it's useless waste of time, what we're doing. Yes?
Jiva
loses his spiritual quality when he embraces the material nature. Anyone have that experience? Yes. Transformation of clay is like what? So Krishna's energies are non-different. Okay? And I remember from my classes, the substance is real, but the forms are temporary. But they say it's both false, the Mayavadis. The impersonalists say both are false, the forms and the substance. And the only reality is Brahman. Okay? Anything else? Yes.
The mind is the
impetuous horse. The mind. Okay. Even the sages cannot control the mind. Even the yogis. Yeah. So this verse 31, I have a few things, I have something here. It's how it's talking about at the end, like the annihilation or the time of death, they merge, like rivers merge into the ocean, or nectar of different flowers blends into honey. So the conditioned beings eventually go back to you. So then I did a little research on the four kinds of annihilation. During Brahma's night, there is naimittika, occasional annihilation. When his life is finished, there's prakritika, or total, the whole universe, everything is finished. Then, when we become liberated and go back to Krishna, adyantika, that's final annihilation. It's not the final annihilation is not the when the universe and everything is finished. It's when we realize that we're servants of Krishna. And then the fourth kind of is constant. At every moment, our body is being, cells are dying. There is annihilation at every moment. So these are just the different types of annihilation. And then on verse 38, which is about embracing the material nature, Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada says something interesting here. Oh yeah, about Krishna. How he has eight kinds of perfection. He says, the Mayavadis forget the fact Krishna is always full with six opulences. Eight transcendental qualities and eight kinds of perfection. Now I thought this was interesting because we don't often think of what are the eight qualities, transcendental qualities of Krishna.
Where is this from Krishna?
This is from Krishna book, Prayers of Personified Vedas. At the end, near the end. So what are these eight qualities? First of all, he's apapavidam. He's untouched by the contamination of material existence. Second, he never dies. This is Krishna. Third, he never laments. Fourth, he's never hungry, although Yashoda might not agree with that, that quality. And he's never thirsty. Again, Yashoda may not agree. And also she may not agree with the lamentation one. And whatever he desires is perfectly lawful. And then whatever he decides cannot be changed by anyone. And then those are the eight qualities. And then eight perfections are the mystic powers. The eight mystic powers. And we're hearing about one of these mystic powers here today. Which one is that? Well, about all the universes, that's Mahima Siddhi. He's so huge, how big Krishna is. And all the universes are like particles of dust blowing inside of him. So imagine, we can't imagine Krishna like that. We see him like a little cowherd boy. But actually, he's really huge. Then, what else did I have to say? Oh yeah, verse 39, which is about the cheating sannyasis, the cheating renunciates. That it says, although you are present in their hearts, for them you are like a jewel worn around the neck of a man who has totally forgotten it's there. So they're wearing Krishna, but they're not practicing properly. So Prabhupada says something about this verse in Krishna book. Let's see what he says. 40. Oh yeah, the Tarmatawaji. Oh, he just says the conclusion is that a devotee by the grace of the Lord is liberated both in this life and the next, whereas karmis, gyanis, and yogis are never liberated either in this life or in the next. So that's a big difference between. Karmis, I mean, he didn't even talk about the cheating ones. He talked, and maybe you might even be a real one, but you don't get liberation.
That does not, will not release them.
It will not release them, yeah. Death does not release them.
Nor can they reach the Lord.
Okay, so that was about it, what I had. extra. So today we're hearing how wonderful Krishna is. He's so wonderful that nobody understands him. Even he doesn't understand himself. So therefore, he had to take birth as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to understand a little bit about himself and the rasa. So this is the conclusion. This verse is the conclusion of all the prayers of personified Vedas. What is the conclusion? Yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's Bhagavan, and his glories are unlimited. So there is a quote here in the purport. My dear daughter of Garga, his greatness encompasses everything above us in heaven, everything below the surface of the earth, everything in between heaven and earth, and everything that has ever existed, exists now, or will ever exist. So all time, in all time, Krishna is the greatest, and in all space. So that covers everything, time and space. Then Vishnu Chakravarti has a conversation between Lord Narayan and personified Vedas. And that is in regards to this verse. The Vedas said, Lord Brahma and the other rulers of the heavenly planets have not yet reached the end of your glories. What can we do then, since we are insignificant in comparison to these great demigods? And Lord Narayan says, no, you Shutis are gifted with more sublime vision than the demigods who rule this universe. You'll be able to reach the end of my glories if you do not stop now. Then the Shutis say, but even you cannot find your own limit. And Krishna says, well, if that is the case, what do you mean when you call me omniscient and omnipotent? And that's a question sometimes I heard in before I was a devotee. If God can do everything, then can he? Is there something that he cannot, you know, that he cannot do? Is there something that he does not know? Is there something he cannot do? So here it says, yes, the Shutis say, yes, there is something, and that is he cannot know himself. He cannot know everything. So that's what Krishna here, Lord Narayan is saying, yes, well then, if I don't know everything, why do you say I'm omniscient and omnipotent? So the Shutis say, we conclude you possess these features from the very fact that you are limitless. Certainly if one is ignorant of something that does not even exist, like a rabbit's horn, that does not detract from his omniscience. And if one fails to find such a non-entity, that does not limit his omnipotence. You are so vast that multitudes of universes float within you. Each of these universes is surrounded by seven shells composed of material elements, and each of these concentric shells is 10 times larger than the one within it. So this is Krishna. But then, so Krishna replies, well, why do you seem dissatisfied? So Krishna says, because in the Vedas, Vyasadeva has described Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan only briefly. When he saw the need to elaborate on the description of the Supreme, he chose to concentrate on Brahman. So that's why the Vedas are not happy with Vyasadeva. Now, why he's only talking about so much about Brahman and not so much about Paramatma and Bhagavan. And that's the Vedas, that's what they have to speak, only what Vyasadeva wrote. It's because they're personified of the Vedas, which Vyasadeva wrote. So he says, so they say, explaining Brahman by negating whatever is different from it. Just as in a field where a chest of jewels has been accidentally spilled, the jewels can be recovered by removing unwanted stones, twigs, and refuse. So within the visible realm of Maya and her creatures, the absolute truth can be found by a process of elimination. So this is the majority of the Vedas is what they are doing, what they are speaking. He is not thin, he is not fat, he is not, he has no legs, he has no arms, he has no, not, niti, niti, niti. He's not this. But what he is, that they don't say. So this is why they are dissatisfied. This is what they mainly do, atan nirasanam, process of distinguishing the Supreme from everything inferior. So here's an example in the purport. Neither big nor small, short nor long, hot nor cool, in shadow nor in darkness. So if someone tells you, guess what it is, it's not the wind or ether, it's not in contact with anything. What is it? has no taste, smell, eyes, ears, motion, potency, life, air, pleasure, measurement inside or outside. So, what is it? If someone tells you that. What is it, then? No inside, no outside. And so this is the problem. This is the problem, and this is most of the modern philosophies today, because they don't know what it is, so they adopt this philosophy. It's very convenient and very handy to describe what they don't know, because they don't know anything. Pardon me? Sophocles' method?
Yeah.
So he he didn't start it. It came from probably Shankaracharya first, or the Vedas. Actually, it started from the Vedas. And then he passed it, and it went to the West. So what does Sridhar Swami say? Dupataya vidarantam anantate nacha bhavanna gira shuti malaya taifalanti atto nama ityato jaya jayeti bhajeta vatatparam. The gods of heaven do not know your limit, O endless Lord. Even you do not know it, because the transcendental words of the topmost shrutis become fruitful by revealing you. I offer you my obeisances. Thus I worship you as the absolute truth, saying, all glories to you, all glories to you. So jai jai, he says. So I have something here from Brihadbhagavatamrita. This verse is quoted in the purport, and it's the point on the millions of universes. This is the section where Ganesh is showing Gopakumar all the Vaikuntha, the people, the Vishnu Dutas, who are coming to these different universes. And at this point, Gopakumar is able to see all the universes at one time, unlimited universes. So he said, Ganesh showed me many Vaikuntha companions of the Lord, traveling with ease in the millions and billions of universes, of multitudes of huge Brahmas, who had millions and billions of lotus faces. So our Brahma has only four faces. Some Brahmas have millions of faces, and some Brahmas have billions of faces. But can we imagine such a Brahma? And so what he says is, the Vaikuntha devotees, attractive to the eyes and mind, all had suitable bodies and were suitably equipped for the universes they were visiting. So according to how many heads people have, the Vaikuntha people would have that many too. They would have to go into different universes and take up the forms of the people who are living there, the Vishnudutas. So therefore we cannot tell who is a Vishnuduta and who is not, unless we're one ourselves. So here, then this verse is quoted about the universes. Gopakumar could easily see into all the material universes from where he stood in the abode of liberation, because that realm is free from any covering of material energy. In each universe, he saw the Vaikuntha messengers had assumed forms with a different size, showed potencies just suitable for that universe. Okay, so one day you may also be there and see all those things at the abode of liberation. If you want to see, then you will see. Jiva Goswami says about why they say this verse. Why did the Shrutis say this verse? Noticing that the various Shrutis have thus each revealed their own ideas, but have not yet drawn the conclusion, namely that all different kinds of Shrutis refer to Krishna by both literal and metaphorical reference, by describing his identity and also his personal opulences. So therefore, the particular Shrutis who began the prayers now take the opportunity to sum up and express their agreement. It is indeed fitting they themselves refer to Krishna. So they speak this verse. So these are the same ones who began the prayers are also ending it and giving the conclusion. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's unlimited, and no one can glorify him. No one can find the end of his glories. And Vishnu Chakravarti quotes the same conversation in a very simple way. So let's hear it again. Even the lords of the upper planets, like Lord Brahma, do not find your limit. Who are we to do so then? The Shrutis say. Then Krishna says, but you have finer vision than them. You will find the end. Don't give up. So don't stop now. Don't keep trying. So even if we cannot do our service up to capacity, we shouldn't give up. Even if we cannot chant nicely, if we sometimes get frustrated with our chanting, we should never give up. Keep trying. So then the Shrutis say, you also don't know your own limit. So what to speak of others? And then Narayan says, well, how can that be? I'm full of knowledge and power. And then the Shrutis say, it is so because of your being without end. Ignorance of illusory things does not destroy your omniscience, and not attaining an end does not destroy your all-powerful nature. So then he says, well, why then are you depressed? And then why were the Shrutis unhappy? Why are they depressed after speaking the whole... Yes.
Because they said the emphasis was on Brahman.
Emphasis is on Brahman. Just see, here we heard all these verses, but it was so much about distinguishing matter from spirit and this and that. Not so many with bhakti. So the Shrutis were depressed that, you know, we just have to say what he wrote. And it's not that much about bhakti, and we have to hide. If there is bhakti, we have to hide it. We have to keep it confidential. So, what can we do? Now, Prabhupada gives a very wonderful explanation of this whole episode here, the conversation. How Krishna sometimes cannot understand himself and his energies. So, Prabhupada explains, because God and his knowledge are both unlimited, so there's God and there's his knowledge. As soon as God is cognizant of some of his energies, he perceives he still has more energies. So the energies increase, and then he increases his knowledge to know those, then his energies increase, because it's not static. It's not like he just has a certain amount of energies. No, the energies are always increasing. So then his knowledge is increasing to keep up with his increasing energies, his increasing and his jivas coming back to Godhead and going here and there. Everything is increasing, and the love is increasing in Goloka Vrindavan. So he also has to keep increasing his side. So his energies, there's his energies, and then there's Krishna, and they're both having a competition. And that's why you can say, well, he doesn't even know everything. Because at one point, because when his energies increase, then he has to increase to know that. But he knows everything because he increases to understand his energies. So you understand that, why he doesn't know, and how he knows and how he doesn't know everything. How Krishna doesn't know everything and how he knows everything at the same time. And so that's what Prabhupada explains. So it's easy to understand when Prabhupada explains it like that. That we didn't get that from the commentators. Yeah? Who?
Shivishnath.
Illusory.
Yeah.
That was in the purport, yeah.
Something that doesn't exist.
Yeah. You don't know the illusory things that are illusion, yeah, that don't exist. If they don't exist, then, you know, of course.
Who can know?
It's just imaginary things. Yeah, that was said by Vishnath. In the purport also. So, what else does Prabhupada say? So it's logic for those people who argue about, they're arguing now, they're making an argument. Well, you are omniscient, or Krishna's making the argument. Well, how can I be omniscient if there's something I don't know? And so the Shrutis reply, because there are some things that don't exist. If they don't exist, then what is the use of knowing them? If, like a rabbit's horns.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. But that's what they're saying. Yeah.
It's because it says here that you yourself don't know the limit of your
life. Yeah, it says you don't know.
You yourself don't.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just one of the arguments. That was one argument. But Prabhupada's argument is nicer. Because the energies are increasing. And so then his knowledge has to increase with that energy increase. So let's see what else. Also, how all the universes are floating in Krishna, like particles of dust are floating in the air along with the birds, and their number cannot be calculated. Just as the atoms and particles of dust are floating in the air along with the birds and floating, and their number cannot be calculated, so innumerable universes are floating. So just like we cannot count all the atoms in the air, in the sky, so also we cannot count how many universes are floating inside Krishna. Just imagine, we can't even imagine a person like that. For that reason, the Vedas say God is beyond the grasp of our knowledge. We can't even imagine. So then there's a quote from Chaitanya Charitamrita, conversation between Gopinath Acharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Gopinath Acharya is telling, this is before Sarvabhauma surrendered. He said, "You are a great scholar and teacher of many disciples. Indeed, there is no other scholar like you on earth. Nonetheless, because you are bereft of even a pinch of the Lord's mercy, you cannot understand him, even though he's present in your home." So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was trying to instruct Lord Chaitanya in the duties of sannyas and in the Veda and Vedanta, this philosophy of impersonalism. Bereft of even a pinch of the Lord's mercy. Because he doesn't have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he cannot understand him. And then Gopinath says, "It's not your fault. It is the verdict of the scriptures. You cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by scholarship." And then they quote this verse. This verse will be quoted. So then one more thing, which is added in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is very interesting, that how we can understand. Veder nikutarta bhujana na hoy purana vakishe atta korai nishchoy. Confidential meaning of the Vedas is not easily understood by common men. Therefore, the meaning is supplemented by the words of the Puranas. So that is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because we cannot understand the Vedas, so for us we have Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam, he quotes a verse, Prabhupada, Tachadadana Munayo Gyana Varagya Yuktaya. Pashyantyatmani Chatmanam Shuta Bhaktya Shuta Grihitaya. So along with Shruti must be Bhakti. Then you can understand. This is from 1.2.12. Without the Bhakti, then the Shrutis cannot help you that much. They cannot help you to understand Krishna that much. Because Vyasadeva did not talk about that in the Vedas. So let's see what else we have. Verse 42. The Supreme Lord, Sri Narayana Rishi, said. So now it's the end of the prayers personified Vedas. We're going back to Narayana Rishi, who has been narrating this story. Having heard these instructions about the Supreme Self, Personality of Godhead, the sons of Brahma now understood their final destination. They felt perfectly satisfied and honored Sanandana with their worship. So Narayana Rishi was quoting a conversation that happened between the sons of Brahma. Sanandana was the speaker. Although all of them were capable of speaking, he was answering. He was speaking this prayers of personified Vedas. Purport. Jiva Goswami explains Atmanushasanam can be understood both as instructions given to benefit the Jiva souls and as instructions about the living entity's relationship with the foundation of all existence, Sambandha. Similarly, Atmanogati means both the destination of the Jiva soul, Prayojan, and the means of reaching the Supreme Soul, Abhideya. So there we have Abhideya, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan. By hearing the 28 prayers of personified Vedas, which comprise the elucidation of the Brahmapanishad spoken at the beginning of this chapter, the sages assembled in Brahmaloka made great progress toward their goal of pure love of God. So as the sages heard these prayers personified Vedas, so did we. And that means we can also make great progress if we understand the conclusion, which is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is to be glorified. So Prabhupada said that this Veda Stuti, Krishna book, Prabhupada explains a little bit more, were first narrated in the Sipak succession by Sanandana to his brothers. So we have a parampara here. That's, these Veda Stutis first came from Sanandana to his brothers. That's how they came. And they were the firstborn sons of Brahma, known as Purvajata. And Bhagavad Gita, we have our parampara beginning with Krishna, and here it started with Narayana Rishi. We should remember, it's narrated by Kumara Sanandana, repeated by Narayana Rishi, incarnation of Krishna for showing us the path of self-realization by undergoing severe austerities. And then Prabhupada talks about, for us, Lord Chaitanya has come and shown the path of pure devotional service. And in the past, Lord Narayana Rishi was an incarnation of Krishna who performed severe austerities in the Himalayas, and Narada was hearing from him. So we've got Sanandana to Narayana Rishi to Narada. The Veda Stuti is coming. So, and then Narada, probably to Vyas, and Vyas to us, Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's narrated, it is understood God is the one supreme and all others are his servants. And Prabhupada quotes, Ekali Shar Krishna, Chaitanya Chaitamita, Arsha Pritya, all others are his servants. Jai Jai Chinache, Shitaiche, Kore Nitya. And he is making everyone dance. So Prabhupada says, this Veda Stuti is thus the original instruction regarding the relationship existing between the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The highest platform of realization for the living entity is attainment of devotional life. So this is what we are doing here, and this is the original instruction, Veda Stuti, of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan. One cannot be engaged in devotional life or Krishna consciousness unless one is fully free from material contamination. But we are very fortunate that Lord Chaitanya has accepted us anyway for engaging in devotional life. Narayana Rishi informed Narada Muni, the essence of all the Vedas and Vedic scriptures, the four Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, and Vedanta Sutra, is to render transcendental loving service to the Lord. So the essence of the Vedas is bhakti, devotional service. Essence of all these prayers is devotional service. In this connection, Narayana Rishi has used one particular word, rasa. In devotional service, this rasa is the vaya medium, or the basic principle for the exchange of dealings between the Lord and the living entity. So rasa is also described in Vedas, raso vai saha. The Lord, Supreme Lord, is a reservoir of all pleasure. Vedic scriptures, all the scriptures, including Puranas, Vedas, Upanishads, and Vedanta Sutra, teach the living entities how to attain the stage of rasa. Now we have our rasa, but it's not with, may not be with Krishna, it may be with other things or other people. And that is why we suffer. But if we have our rasa with Krishna, then we become free of suffering. Even if we're suffering in our rasa with Krishna in separation from him, that suffering is the highest pleasure. You feel satisfied even in that suffering, if it's in relationship with Krishna. But in the material world, you can have so many relationships and you're never satisfied. You're never satisfied. Bhagavatam also says the statements in Mahapurana, Bhagavatam, constitute the essence, rasa, of all Vedic literature. Nigama kapataro kalitam phalam. It is the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree. So now we have heard the Vedas, but at the same time, we have the ripened fruit, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a Krishna book. For verse 42.
No, what verse is that verse?
113. Nigama kapataro kalitam phalam. Desire is the ripened fruit, desire tree of Vedic literature. We understand with the breathing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are issued forth the four Vedas, Rig, Yajur, Sama, and Atharva, and the histories like Mahabharata and Puranas, which are considered to be the history of the world. The Vedic histories like Puranas and Mahabharata are called the fifth Veda. So I always find this so interesting that the histories came before everything happened, and usually you have history after. Something happens and then it becomes history. But not with Krishna. Not with, first came the history and then it happens. Isn't that interesting? And that's why they have this Bhrigu Samhita, where our history is already written there. And now we're doing it. We're doing our history. But we don't know what it is. But some people, they try to go and find out. But history can be changed if we engage in devotional service. Mahabharata is history. But it was written before it happened. Isn't that a very interesting concept of history? History, I'm sure the word means some like things that happen after they happen, to write down about what happened after it happened. Probably a definition of history. But not with us. We have our history first. Okay, verse 43. Thus the ancient saints who travel in the upper heavens distilled this nectarian confidential essence of all the Vedas and Puranas. Again, Krishna book. Prabhupada comments. 28 verses of the Veda study are to be considered the essence of all Vedic knowledge. So if you want to study the Vedas, just study these 28 verses, and you've got all the Vedas, the essence of the Vedas. Four Kumaras and other authorized sages know perfectly devotional service in Krishna consciousness is the essence of all Vedic literature. So you don't need to study the Vedas, you can just become a devotee and engage in devotional service, and you'll be practicing the essence of all the Vedas. And they preach this on different planets, traveling in outer space, Prabhupada says. It is stated herein, such sages, including Narada Muni, hardly ever travel on land. They perpetually travel in space. So we are in the disciplic succession of Narada Muni, and I think our sages are also following in his footsteps by traveling in the space all the time, traveling in the airplanes. As Srila Prabhupada himself said, when someone asks, where do you live? He says, I live in the Boeing 747. That is where my home is. That is where my home is. Or the airport. That's another airport in the airplane. So our modern sages are following in the footsteps of Narada Muni by traveling in the air, traveling in space, to preach. Prabhupada says, sages like Narada and the Kumaras travel throughout the universe to educate the conditioned souls that their business in the world is not that of sense gratification, but of reinstating themselves in their original position of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is stated in several places, living entities are like sparks of the fire, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is like the fire itself. If the sparks somehow or other fall out of the fire, they lose their natural illumination. Thus it is ascertained the living entities come into this material world exactly as sparks fall from a great fire. A living entity wants to imitate Krishna, tries to lord it over material nature in order to enjoy sense gratification. Thus he forgets his original position, and his illuminating power, his spiritual identity, is extinguished. However, if a living entity takes to Krishna consciousness, he is reinstated in his original position. To preach this message of devotional service, sages and saints like Narada and the Kumaras travel all over the universe, educating people and increasing their disciples. Their aim is that all the conditioned souls may be educated to revive their original consciousness or Krishna consciousness, and thus gain relief from the miserable conditions of material life. So Prabhupada talks how Narada Muni and the four Kumaras are Naishtika Brahmacharis. That means they can remember whatever they heard from their spiritual master. And Prabhupada says, one who can remember everything perpetually is called Shutidhara. A Shutidhara Brahmachari can repeat verbatim all he has heard without notes, without reference to books. Shibhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had that also. He was a Shutidhara. At the time, they said just before he died, he could remember, somebody said that in this class, books that he had read 50 years ago. He could just speak as if he had read them, as if they were right in front of him. He could just say what was in the book, the Shruti Dara. The great sage Narada has this qualification. Therefore, having taken instruction from Narayana Rishi, he is engaged in propagating the philosophy of devotional service all over the world. Because such great sages can remember everything, they are thoughtful, self-realized, and completely fixed in the service of the Lord. Yes, they are using their memory properly. In this world, they have like contests on the TV for those who can remember things also. They have quizzes and things, and they can win a lot of money if they... So that's how they use their memory. But the devotees, they use their memory in service of Krishna. So whatever they remember, then they can preach. 44. And as you wander the earth at will, my dear son of Brahma, you should faithfully meditate on these instructions concerning the science of the self, which burn up the material desires of all men. So not only should Narada remember, we should remember as we wander the earth, not at our will, but at Krishna's will, and meditate on these instructions. Purport, Narada, the son of Brahma, heard this account from Sri Narayana Rishi. The epithet Brahma Dayada also means Narada attained Brahman effortlessly, just as if it were his inherited birthright. Shukadeva Goswami said, when Sri Narayana Rishi ordered him in this way, the self-possessed sage Narada, whose vow is as heroic as a warrior's, accepted the command with firm faith. What is the command?
Remember the instructions.
Remember these instructions. Meditate on these instructions concerning science of the self. Now successful in all his purposes, he thought about what he had heard, O King, and replied to the Lord as follows. So what will Narada Muni say? I'll read it. I'll sing it because it's one of those mantras. Namastasmai Bhagavate Krishnaya Malakirtaye Yatate Sarabhutanam Abhavaya Shuti Kalaha. Sri Narada said, I offer my obeisances to him of spotless fame, the Supreme Lord Krishna, who manifests his all attractive personal expansions, so that all living beings can achieve liberation. So he's glorifying now which quality of Krishna? The six opulences of Krishna. One of those six. Fame. So just by your fame,
yes.
By the fame, then you attract. Of course, he's all attractive, personal expansion, but my obeisance is to him of spotless fame, Amala Kirtaye, his fame, his pastimes. He comes here just so we can become attracted and get liberation. That's why he comes and has his pastimes, just for us to remember and to have something to talk about. Because there's so much news of this world, and it's not very good news. Seems that it's in the process of annihilation, as far as economic, at least stability goes. The process is going on of annihilation, but the spiritual news is always very nice. But Sridhar Swami remarks that Narada is addressing Sri Narayana Rishi as an incarnation of Lord Krishna. Is it perfectly appropriate? Here it's Narayana Rishi and he's saying, Krishna, ya, Malakirtaye. Our obeisance is to you, Lord Krishna. He said, this is appropriate. It's Narayana Rishi, but he's saying Krishna. In accordance with the following statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, Ete Chang Shkala Punsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Sayam, all the above mentioned incarnations, including Narayana Rishi, are either plenary portions or portions of plenary portions of the Lord, but Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. What was another incarnation that had a different form from Krishna, but we could somehow he revealed that he was Krishna also. I was just remembering it's in Srimad Bhagavatam in one of the cantos. There was one form, quite a different form, and he showed his form as Krishna. Or else, yeah, I think so. It was Varaha. I remember he churned for a few moments and showed that he was Krishna. Somewhere I remember that. Perhaps it's a commentary. In his commentary on this verse, Sri Vishnu Chakravarti has Lord Narayana asking, "Why do you offer obeisances to Krishna instead of me, your guru, who is standing here before you?" Narada explains his action by saying, "Lord Krishna assumes all attractive incarnations like Sri Narayana Rishi to end the conditioned soul's material life." So first he says Krishna, and then he says, "Who manifests his all-attractive personal expansion?" So that includes you, my Guruji. You are one of his personal expansions. So first he says Krishna, but that includes, you're included in that. By offering obeisances to Lord Krishna, therefore, Narada honors Narayana Rishi and all other manifestations of Godhead as well. So that's very nice. If we just say Krishna, it's 1,000 names of Vishnu three times. Three times 3,000 names of Vishnu. If we just say one Krishna. One Krishna. This prayer of Narada's is the essential nectar he has extracted from the personified Vedas prayers. Okay. Verse 46, this is, we're in the verse. Yeah, we're in the purport. And this is his prayer. His prayer is verse 46, where he says, "I offer my obeisances to him, Lord Krishna." So now we're getting more and more like the Vedas, the last verse 41, it was the essence, but this is the essence of the essence, this verse. It's Krishna. They didn't mention Krishna. So Narada Muni is helping us here to find out who is that person that the Vedas were glorifying, and it's Krishna. He's giving us a hint, not a hint. He's saying it's Krishna. Krishna's the one. This prayer is the, of Narada's is the essential nectar he has extracted from the personified Vedas prayers, which themselves were churned from the secret, oh, sorry, the sweet ocean of all secrets of the Vedas and Puranas. So all the secrets of the Vedas and Puranas are in these 28 prayers of personified Vedas. Imagine. If you want to know the secrets of the Vedas, just read these prayers. And the essential nectar is Krishna's name, Harinam. And we're so fortunate we have that name. As Gopal, Tapani Upanishad recommends, "Tasmat Krishna eva paro devastam tayetam rasayetam bhajetam yajet iti om tat sat." Worship Krishna, meditate on him, relish the taste of the reciprocating loving exchanges with him, and offer sacrifice to him. So it's Krishna. Krishna is the essence. Krishna is the essence of Bhagavatam. Krishna is the essence of the Vedas. Krishna is the essence of the Puranas, Upanishads. It's Krishna. So if you want to sum up the whole Vedas, one word, Krishna. It's Krishna. He is the one to worship, to offer sacrifice, to have loving exchanges with, meditate, to meditate on. Krishna book. Thus the great sage Narada, after hearing from his spiritual master Narayana Rishi, became completely realized. He became established in the truth, and he became so happy. He offered prayers to Narayana Rishi. So this prayer was offered in great happiness by Narada Muni, according to Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni addressed Narayana Rishi as an incarnation of Krishna, specifically addressed him as the supreme well-wisher of the conditioned souls. So he is still alive, doing austerities in the Himalayas, in a very famous, in Badrikashram. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna descends in every millennium just to give protection to his devotees and to annihilate the non-devotees. Narayana Rishi, being an incarnation of Krishna, is also addressed as well-wisher of the conditioned souls. Stated in Bhagavad Gita, everyone should know there is no well-wisher like Krishna. What verse is that? Stated in Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktaram yaktaksam sarvalokamesha suhidam sarvabhutanam mam shantim richati. Everyone should understand Lord Krishna is the supreme well-wisher of everyone and should take shelter of him. So if you do this, in this way, Prabhupada says, one can become completely confident and satisfied, knowing he has someone who is able to give him all protection. So if you're not confident and satisfied, that means you haven't taken shelter of Krishna. If you take shelter, then you'll be confident that no one can disturb me. He's protecting me. Krishna himself, his incarnation and his plenary expansions are all supreme well-wishers of the conditioned soul. But Krishna is a well-wisher even of the demons, for he gave salvation to all the demons who came to kill him in Vrindavan. Therefore, Krishna's welfare activities are absolute. For whether he annihilates a demon or gives protection to a devotee, the result of his activities is one and the same. So that's the conclusion Prabhupada said, even the demons. And Devahuti, what was her conclusion after she heard all the philosophy of the Sankhya Yoga? What was her conclusion? Ahobhata-shapacho-tolgariyan. Yes. Fortunate are those who are chanting. Glorious are they whose tongues are chanting the holy name. So the whole, so many chapters of Sankhya Yoga, and conclusion was, chant Hare Krishna. And if you do that, then you're fortunate. And the same thing with the Vedas. Narada Muni has given us the conclusion in his one verse prayer. It's Krishna. Worship Krishna. Verse 47. Shukade Goswami continued, after saying this, Narada bowed down to Sri Narayana Rishi, the foremost of sages, and also to his saintly disciples. He then returned to the hermitage of my father, Dwaipayana Vyas. Vyasadeva, the incarnation of personality of Godhead, respectfully greeted Narada Muni and offered him a seat, which he accepted. Narada then described to Vyas what he had heard from the mouth of Sri Narayana Rishi. So, four Kumaras, Narayana Rishi, down to Narada, down to Vyas. We are following this Veda Stutis, coming from one to the other. Thus I have replied to the question you asked me, O King, concerning how the mind can have access to the absolute truth, which is indescribable by material words and devoid of material activities. So what is the answer? How can the mind have access to the absolute truth? Bhakti, very good. You have understood. And also that's what Vishnu says. I have replied to you how the mind can conceive of God who is beyond material conceptions and without material qualities. The answer is, the mind can perceive God by the power of bhakti arising from the mercy of the Lord. So you need bhakti and you need mercy together. So now verse 50 is a summary of the whole chapter again. Summary of all the prayers personified Vedas. He is the Lord who eternally watches over this universe, who exists before, during, and after its manifestation. He is the master of both the unmanifest material energy and the spirit soul. After sending forth the creation, he enters within it, accompanying each living entity. There he creates the material bodies and then remains as their regulator. By surrendering to him, one can escape the embrace of illusion, just as a dreaming person forgets his own body. One who wants liberation from fear should constantly meditate upon him, Lord Hari, who is always on the platform of perfection and thus never subject to material birth. So the summary of the chapter is a summary of creation and how to get out of it, because we're trapped in this creation. And how to get out? Surrender to Krishna. We can escape the embrace of illusion. And we must also meditate upon Krishna. Purport. By glancing upon the dormant universe at the time of sending forth the jiva souls into creation, the Supreme Lord provides all of their necessities. For those living entities who are fruit of workers, he provides the intelligence and senses needed to achieve success in fruit of work. For those who seek transcendental knowledge, he provides the intelligence by which they can merge into the spiritual effulgence of God. thus attaining liberation. And for the devotees, he provides the understanding that leads them to his pure devotional service. So what verse in Bhagavad Gita? Yes, very good. Yeyatamam prabhadyante tam sataiva pajamyaham. So everybody has their own different desires. And this comes out in his glance, the karma, the jivas, the time, and prakriti. It all comes out in his glance. And then he arranges for us to fulfill our desires. To arrange for these varied facilities, the Lord impels material nature to begin the process of universal evolution. Thus the Lord is the nimitta karanam, or effective cause of creation. He's also the upadana karanam, ingredient cause, inasmuch as everything emanates from him. He alone is constantly present before, during, and after the manifestation of the created cosmos. Lord Narayan himself states this in Chatushloki Bhagavata. Aham evasam evagre nanyat yat sarasatam pascharam yare tasya yavishishetasas miham. It is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself, nor was there the material nature, cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So it's interesting, everything is Krishna, but do we see Krishna in everything? How much of our day? Of course, when we go to the temple, it's easy, and when we're chanting, but then the rest of the day, do we see Krishna? Although he's everywhere in everything, but very difficult to see. Primeval Maya and the Jiva soul may deserve the respective titles of Upadana and Nimitta causes of creation in a relative sense, but the Lord, after all, is the origin of both of them. So defeating, again, Sankhya philosophy. Until he chooses to accept the mercy of the personality of Godhead, the Jiva soul is anushayi, helplessly bound up in the embrace of illusion. Isn't that interesting? Until he chooses to accept the mercy. That means the mercy is coming, it's everywhere. But we are choosing not to accept sometimes. Sometimes there is some mercy which we don't want to accept. So we must choose to accept the mercy of Krishna, and then we get free. When he turns to the Lord's worship, he becomes anushayi in a different sense, fallen like a rod to pay obeisances at the Lord's feet. By that surrender, the soul easily casts illusion aside, even though the liberated soul may still seem to be living in a material body. Connection he has with it is only an external appearance. He pays no more regard to it than a sleeping man pays to his body while busily engaged far, far away in his dream world. So imagine what it means to be liberated. You don't pay attention, you don't realize you have a body so much. You don't pay attention, regard to it, just like a sleeping man. And it's not artificial. You cannot do it artificially, it just happens naturally. Because you're so engaged and you're so much thinking, you're in Krishna's world, you're in reality, so then you forget your body. One gives up ignorance by abandoning false identification with one's material body. Sometimes one can achieve this state only by a severe effort that takes many lifetimes. So who is this that has to take a severe effort that takes many lifetimes? Gyanis. Very good. But in some cases, the Lord may show special consideration for one he favors, regardless of how little credit that soul may have earned by regulated practice. Who is the example? Bhishmadev says, those who simply saw Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms after being killed. So the warriors on the opposite side, they didn't do devotional service to Krishna. They had no qualification. So they were just there and they died. Of course, they did get purification. What was that purification they got? Arjuna's arrows purified them. So therefore, they got association with a pure devotee before they died by his arrows. And demons like Agha, Bhaka, and Keshi were liberated by Lord Krishna without having performed any spiritual practices as an indication of his unique position as the original personality of Godhead. Knowing this, we should put aside all fear and doubt and give ourselves fully to the process of devotional service. His final words of commentary, Siddhar Swami writes, Sarvashuti Shiroratna Nirajita Parambujam Bhoga Yoga Param Vande Madhavam Karminam Raya. With their effulgence, the crest jewels among all the Shrutis offer arati to the lotus feet of Lord Madhava. I pay homage to him who bestows the material enjoyment honored by material workers and who also grants the divine connection with him, prized by those who bow down to him with reverence. Śrīla Viṣṇu Chakravarti also takes this opportunity to offer his humble prayer. He bhakta dvāryayam chancha valati rautiva manak prasāram lāpatam yasamād viṣiṣṭa śveva nātati. O devotees, this poor creature is standing at your doorway, waving his tail and barking. Please, let him have a little prasadam, so that he may become exceptional among dogs and get the best of masters as his owner. So Vishnu Chakravarti is making a pun on his own name, Vish, Ishta, exceptional, and Shva also means dog. Vishishta, Shva, like a dog, Nata, Ati, having a master. Vishwanat. So he's saying I'm just a dog begging for the prasadam of the devotees. So Vishwanath comments also, having collected together the meaning of all the praises of the Vedas, Shukadev makes us again remember the facts. So that was this last verse. The meaning of all the praises in Shukadev's words. So first we had a summary in the prayers persona, a conclusion in the prayers persona five Vedas, and we got the essence from Narada, and now we're getting from Shukadev. So all of them are giving their conclusions and their summaries and their essence, what they got. Yes?
That is not their prasadam.
Pardon me?
That is their prasadam.
Yeah, there is a prasadam. We are getting prasadam of Shukadev, Vishwanath, and Narada, and all of them, and the Vedas themselves. So then, Vishwanath talks about what Shukadev said. The Lord, glancing utprekshaka upon this world, asya, awakening the karmas of the materialistic jiva sleeping next to maya, having created the intelligence, mind, senses, and prana, in order for them to attain the fruits of their karma, in order for them to enjoy, in order the jnanis attain their goal of merging, and in order a devotee can attain a position as associate of the Lord in prema, as a result of bhakti, thinks of where he can send each jiva in the material realm. So purpose of creation is given first of all, why he created, so that everybody can go into their different places and achieve their goals. Shukadev next speaks of existence in the three aspects of time. The Lord exists as beginning, middle, and end of the universe. So it's an answer, this verse, and also prayers to personify Vedas, is an answer to what is the purpose of life, what is the purpose of creation, why the Lord created, and also how we can actually connect with the Lord, even though he's beyond our senses. Next, Shukadev speaks of the Lord's being the cause of all and controller of all, Ishvara, of this whole material world composed of Maya, Avyakta, and Jiva. Because they are his energies, and because his energies are not different from their source, Shaktiman, he's also Maya and Jiva. He's the material cause and of the world and Jivas, their efficient cause and their controller. So that's the first point. Next, he speaks of the entrance of the Lord in the world and the secondary creation there. Having created this world, created the bodies of devas, men, animals, and others through the agency of Brahma, and controls them by his expansion as Paramatma, who, like a rishi, is not contaminated. Then he speaks of the jiva's escape from the world by bhakti. The jiva, embraced by ignorance, surrenders to this Lord. All in one verse, verse 50. It's a complete summary of everything, how to get out, how we got in here, how the creation came and we were put into this world, for what purpose, and also how to get out by surrendering to Krishna. So Prabhupada gives his transcendental advice. Supreme goal of life, this is from Krishna book, is to achieve the transcendental blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thus become engaged in loving service of the Lord. One should follow in the footsteps of Shukadeva Goswami and all the other Vaishnavas in disciplic succession, should pay respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna, Hari, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he mentions the four sampradayas and how they agree. The four sects of Vaishnava disciplic succession, Madhva, Ramanuja, Vishusami, Nimbarka, in pursuance of all Vedic conclusions, agree one should surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So first he says that all the sampradayas agree, and then he said all the shrutis agree. The Vedic literature is divided into two, shrutis and smritis. Shrutis are four Vedas, Rig, Sama, Atharva, Yajur, and the Upanishads. Smritis are Puranas and Itihasas, which includes Gita. Conclusion of all these is one should know Krishna as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parama Purusha. And also that he is the controller. The complete activities of material nature are conducted under his direction, confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Which verse? Maya Takshina Prakriti. Then Prabhupada talks about the atheistic Sankhyat philosophers will offer their arguments. Material manifestation is due to Prakriti and Purusha, which means Jiva and Maya. But the ultimate cause is Krishna. So everything points to Krishna. That's what Prabhupada is also telling us in Krishna book. It's, of course, it's only Krishna. And the way to get out is by surrendering. How the living entity becomes liberated from the modes of nature after surrendering to God is illustrated by the example of a sleeping man within a room. When a man is sleeping, everyone sees he's present in the room, but actually the man himself is not within that body. For while sleeping, a man forgets his bodily existence, although others may see his body is present. Now, this is how the liberated soul acts. A liberated person engaged in devotional service may be seen by others to be engaged in the household duties of the material world. But since his consciousness is fixed in Krishna, he does not live within this world. His engagements are different, exactly as a sleeping man's engagements are different from his bodily engagements. Confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, a devotee engaged full-time in transcendental loving service of the Lord has already surpassed the influence of the three modes of material nature. He's already situated on Brahman platform in the transcendental realm, although he appears to be living in the body or within the material world. What verse from Bhagavad Gita? Mamcha yogya vicharena. Okay, that's a good one, yeah? Okay. Chambukta suvichate, okay, and also from Gita, Mamcha Yovya Vicharena. And that's, then he quotes Rupa Goswami, exactly what you said, Jivan Mukta. He's liberated even while in this world. Conclusion is, a person fully engaged in Krishna consciousness is a liberated person. He has nothing to do with this body or world, and the others, karmis, gyanis, hover on the bodily and mental platforms and are not liberated. So that is the conclusion. So Prabhupada then makes a conclusion. After understanding the prayers offered by personified Vedas, one should surrender unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So it's exactly the same as the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, that if you understand Gita, you will surrender like Arjuna did. So if you understand prayers of personified Vedas, you will surrender as Narada Muni did. He understood. So I hope you have understood. So I'll just read a little bit of something which describes the fourth Chatushloki, from the purport of the fourth Chatushloki, which is to search after Krishna everywhere and at all times. In other words, to perform devotional service. So it quotes Vishnu Purana. Sahanistamahachitram samohaschavipama yamuhurtam shanam vapi vasudeva nachintayet If even for a moment remembrance of Vasudeva is missed, that is the greatest loss, the greatest illusion, and the greatest anomaly. And then Prabhupada says how Krishna can be worshipped in all stages of life. In the wombs of their mothers, who were the two people who worshipped in the womb? Parikshit and Prahlad. Prahlad and? There's actually one more. Who? Yeah, Rishi Jiva. Also Shukadev. Shukadev was. And there's a lot. So even in the womb, it can be done. No excuse. No excuses that, oh, I got a problem. I cannot worship Krishna. Huh? Yeah, it's rare. And we have the history of. Then at, in the childhood, age of 5 years old, in Juva, Prahlad, in full youth, Ambarish. At the last stage of his frustration in old age, Ajamila and Dhritarashtra. And yeah, they're both there. No, Ajamila is at the point of death. He's for the point of death. And then there's in heaven and in hell. No. Yeah, Chitraketu. Chitraketu. Heaven and hell. Yeah, that's another example, Bali Maharaj. That's a good one. Heaven and in hell. Yeah, Vritasura is the answer. Chitraketu. Chitraketu is Vritasura. It's Chitraketu. In the Shinga Purana, it is said as the hellish inhabitants began to chant the holy name of the Lord, they began to be elevated from hell towards heaven. So if you ever find yourself in a problem here, just chant the holy name if you find yourself in a hellish condition. Even in this world, it can be. Yes. Durvasa Muni has supported this view. Mucheta yanam yudite narakopi. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, the inhabitants of hell became released from their hellish persecution. Conclusion given by Shukadev to Parikshit. Ittan nirvidyamana nam ichitam akuto vayam yoginam nipanirnitam maharinam anukirtanam. Everyone, those in the renounced order, mystics, enjoyers of fruitive work, should chant the holy name of the Lord fearlessly to achieve desired success in their pursuits. Then there's six more points. This is all about the glories of the Lord. Even though one is well-versed in all the Vedas and scriptures, if one is not a devotee of the Lord, personality of Godhead, he is the lowest of mankind. So we have a lot of people in that category in this world. In the Garuda Purana, Brihannaradiya Purana, Padma Purana, the same is repeated. What is the use of Vedic knowledge and penances for one who is devoid of devotional service? Then the next point, what is the comparison of thousands of Prajapatis to one devotee of the Lord? Shukadeva said, neither the ascetic, nor one who is greatly munificent, nor one who is famous, nor the great philosopher, nor the greatest occultist, nor anyone else can achieve the desired result without being engaged in the service of the Lord. Then point five, even if a place is more glorious than heaven, if there is no glorification of the Lord of Vaikuntha or his pure devotee, it should at once be quitted. Six, the pure devotee refuses to accept all the five different types of liberation in order to be engaged in the service of the Lord.
It's all from the
purport? Yeah, it's a huge purport.
36.
Okay. So, any questions or comments or verses? This conclusion of the Vedas, the essence of the Vedas, yes?
The Alvar also is telling.
Who?
One Alvar,
yes.
Telling.
By chanting the holy name, you can dance on the head of the Yamadutas.
Hell becomes
Vaikuntha. Yeah, so next time you're in hell, just don't forget. Yes? Well, if you think, okay, so we said that if you know that you're being protected by Krishna, you should be confident and satisfied. But suppose you feel like, well, I don't deserve protection. So that's another mood. It's not that there's one mood. I am protected by Krishna. That's describing one mood that a person has, just like a child who is with his father. But then another mood is, that's another separate, well, am I, I don't deserve protection. Am I deserving of protection? So you have a doubt there. And you won't be satisfied in coming because you have a doubt there. Do I deserve it? There's a doubt in your mind. Am I qualified? Am I deserving? So then Krishna will have to dispel your doubt by protecting you anyway. And it happens. You may doubt that Krishna is protecting you, but you see that when everything is, there's no one else, when there's no way you can be protected by any other, then Krishna comes through. Then your doubt will be, well, even I don't deserve, still Krishna's protecting me. And Prabhupada said, it's in the purport we were reading of Dharasa Muni in the 9th canto, that even at the beginning of one's devotional service, one is protected by Krishna. So that can give you more faith and confidence. Okay, maybe even if I don't deserve it. But Prabhupada says that in the purport. So, yeah, Abhay?
I was thinking in theory everybody's being protected.
Pardon me?
I say in the theory is that everybody's being protected.
Right.
But we may not like the type of protection that we may get. No.
Okay. In theory, everyone is being protected, but we may not appreciate the type of protection we're getting. It's like the kind of, everyone's getting the mercy. But we may not appreciate the kind of mercy we're getting. Yes? Okay.
So
Krishna is thinking that this person is mine and he's being protected in all ways. This is a quote from Shiraswami Sikskinto.
Yes,
okay. It was in the purport.
Chanting the first name means nama prat, or just paying obeisances. So this bhava, this consciousness just happens.
So if we chant Krishna's name.
629.
It's Namabhas, isn't it?
Yes.
Over there. It's Namabhas. Namabhas, not Namaparad. He was not chanting Namaparad. That's in this purport, right? It was in some purport, right?
What's the
conclusion? Oh, a sixth canto. Okay. 629.
What's the conclusion?
Conclusion is that if you simply chant even Namabhas, you have complete protection. I would say Namabhas. But, yeah. There's a quotation from Adi Purana that even if you chant neglectfully, it doesn't say aparad though. It says Namabhas. That you're not paying attention it's just like, you're not even, like Ajamila, he was not referring to Krishna. Yeah, right. Yeah, so those are four types of Namabhas. Namabhas. Yeah. Namabhas is a very high platform. Without aparads, without offenses. It's very high. Yeah, he was not committing offense. Because he was not chanting to get free, he was not chanting to counteract his sinful activities. He was performing sinful activities, but he was not thinking, okay, I'll chant, and then I'll do some more sins, and then that'll counteract with the sins that I'm sinful acts that I'm performing, I'll just counteract it by chanting.
He was helpless. He was going after.
Yeah. But that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is how he was chanting. Yeah. Question, does the Lord give protection in the same proportion that we surrender? No, he gives more protection, but we only accept in proportion to our surrender. Krishna gives more protection than we want. But Prabhupada said, one time he said in one lecture that if you want full protection, then sarvadharman pritya mamikam sharanam vraja. If you want full protection. And we just read in a purport that we are reluctant to accept the mercy. We're reluctant to accept the protection. And that's what Prabhupada also said, that we can have full protection, but we're reluctant to accept full protection. We think we can also protect ourselves. We are quite capable of protecting ourselves. Yes, we can do a better job than Krishna. We can do better, and that's why we're here. We're here just to show how we can do better than Krishna. Yes. And the symbol of our mistake is this material body that we have. symbol of. Yeah, yeah.
Elementary
acts, it's not that he.
Cleanliness, just do some.
Yeah, normally he does.
Somehow,
yeah, yeah,
some
he does. Yeah, the point also they were making, you cannot tell that he's liberated, because he lives just like other people live.
Maybe he even himself didn't realize he's Jivan Mukta.
Jivan Mukta, he will realize something. You realize?
Krishna,
you think you are liberated?
No, I'm not saying you are liberated.
Okay.
Bound.
Yeah, no. Jivan Mukta will understand
that
something
that he's
something. But he doesn't think that way. He doesn't think I'm Jivan Mukta, so I can control the world. He's full of devotion. So it's not something that he thinks about.
So
no, the demon does want to become God. I mean, he wants to. So Brahman is the best that a demon can hope for. Most of them can hope for is that they want to. It's the same as the Mayavadi, same as the impersonalists. They want to be, you know, Brahman is the highest for them. So therefore, that's what they want. They want to be eternal. They want to be God. Most of them, but some of them were, you know, doorkeepers, and some of them only got Brahman. Some of them got Shishupala was Jai Vijay. Yeah, so that's different. Yeah, that's different. Pondraka, yeah, because he also got special. Yeah, now Agasura also. Yeah.
Putana did such high position.
But they get, I mean, that's what, I mean, Pandraka got what he wanted. He wanted to have a form just like Krishna's. So he got it. He got Sarupya. No, he doesn't give his. The reference to Agasura appreciated the Brijbasis. Tastes good.
Huh?
They tasted good.
You mean where his punya came from?
No, reference was.
Where the reference of.
Oh, is there one who holds Krishna's form even for a moment, then in his mind?
That's verse 52 of 10:12:52. That's how we understand he became. For Agasura. It's in reference to Agasura. Agasura. 10:12:52, somewhere around there. You can look it up. If one just by force, if you take the form of the Lord in your mind, then you will get liberated like Agasura.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Even by force.
Well, we should just put some more pictures.
Yes, Parvati. It works.
39?
10:12:39. Okay.
But he got only punya.
No, he got sarupya. He saw the form of Krishna.
Yes, sarupya, but he was purified.
Yeah.
Because
Krishna went inside of him.
Just holding for one moment, Krishna.
And he thought he had, for one he had a favorable thought or something.
But
he had some sort of favorable thought for a brief moment, and he had the form of Krishna in his mind and in his stomach. And so,
all the demons must get that.
Before he choked to death.
It's possible. With Krishna. They see Krishna. And Kamsa was always meditating on him, too. He was always meditating on Krishna. He was seeing him more than the devotees see Krishna. He was seeing Krishna in his glass of water, and he said, kill him, kill him. They get purified at the they get purified. Yeah, the touch of Krishna. It purifies them. Like Putana, her body became very aromatic when they burnt it. Putana. When they burned her body, then everyone was saying, what's that nice smell?
Because Because Krishna is absolute, whether you see him, touch him, or what, he's actually the same.
Yeah.
So it must be his mercy.
Yeah. And this is special about Krishna.
The same point, then, that he's bestowing his mercy even though they don't want him.
Yeah. That's why they say he's not partial. And he is not partial. He's impartial. And Prabhupada said this is a unique thing about Krishna above all other incarnations. That if you keep his form, then you have some sort of relationship with him. But we are following in the footsteps of Sri Rupa Goswami and we're doing favorable bhakti. Yes.
So it seems Krishna is willing to give all protection to anybody. And
he's already.
Yeah, he's already. But there seems to be two dangers for us. One is complacency.
Okay.
Just kind of a pride that Krishna protect me or protect me.
Yeah, devotees, especially when Prabhupada was here, devotees had that overconfidence. I can do whatever I want, and Krishna will protect me.
Then Krishna will have to protect me from my
break life. The laws of the land, and that's how we thought in the early days. We can do anything, and Krishna has to protect us.
There is another extreme, which is, I'm too undeserving. Krishna is not merciful enough, or not powerful enough to protect such an undeserving person as me. It is also a kind of pride.
Yeah, it's pride. Yeah, I am so special that I'm excluded from all the from the categories.
So
I'm so
the proper balance between complacency and on the other side, just some kind of a
depression. Yes. Complacency and hopelessness. What is the proper balance?
Faith.
Yeah, faith. Not only faith in the Lord, but faith in the spiritual master. Because the what is that? It's Durvasa Muni, I believe, that even my servants are very dear to me, and even the servants of those servants are very dear to me. So if we can just serve a pure devotee, then Krishna will have to accept us. As Prabhupada, if we just follow Prabhupada's instructions, that Prabhupada gave so many benedictions, he was so merciful. If you simply do this, or if you simply hear this, if we do that, then Krishna has to, we can say, yes, Prabhupada said, so he has to accept us. Mm-hmm. Because Prabhupada has said that if we do this, then Krishna has to accept. So Krishna is bound by Prabhupada's words, but he's bound by the words of a pure devotee. So that's our main hope, that, we may be nothing, and we are certainly undeserving and hopeless cases. But then we have Prabhupada. As long as we stay with Prabhupada, then we can go in the back door, back to Godhead. And Nityananda, yes?
So Ashabandha.
Ashabandha, yeah.
That mentality that we're not
hope against hope. Yeah, there's a prayer by Sri Rupa Goswami. I'm not born in a good family. I don't have yogic powers. I don't have any knowledge. But still, I'm hoping against hope.
It's also those two things that bind in Krishna, isn't
it? Yeah. Endeavor, effort, and mercy.
Is it the proper balance is the limited disqualification. I'm unlimitedly disqualified, but Krishna is even more infinitely merciful.
Yeah, he's more merciful than you are disqualified.
So as far as I'm concerned, I'm totally hopeless, but as far as Krishna is concerned, he's even more overpowering. His mercy is even more overpowering. So there's hope for everyone.
Yeah, there's hope for everyone. Especially in this age of Kali, because we have Nityananda. Remember, there's a story, I think it's in the memories of Prabhupada. One of my godbrothers was stealing money, and then all the devotees wanted to kick him out, and they kicked him out. And Prabhupada took him back and gave him sannyas. And then, again, after that, he was on Juhu Beach, And Tamal reported to Prabhupada, now this is it. This is the end. This is the limit. Now we can't help him anymore. He's sitting on the beach. He's learning how to pass a coin from one ear to the other from one yogi. And Prabhupada said, you do not know the mercy of Nityananda. You have not heard how merciful Nityananda is. And that's our hope, Jagai Madhai. If he can accept Jagai Madhai, then we aren't as sinful as they were. We didn't commit all those sins that they did. So therefore, if he can accept them, he can accept us. So we have to go through Nityananda. Because Nityananda will surely, if we can please Nityananda, please Śrīla Prabhupāda, then surely we will. They will speak on our behalf to Lord Chaitanya and to Krishna to give us a place, to give us mercy. Pardon me? How do we apply that now? Yes. If you're in that position to make a decision, then it's good to pray a lot and find out and consult others. Yes.
It's also good to have
the right. Right, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, and this class is okay. Yeah, so Jagai Madhai. Jagai Madhai, or Nityananda's mercy. Okay, what's a less extreme case? Anyway, whatever. Yeah, the mercy is there. No, Jagai Madhai are the classic example of mercy of Nityananda. All glories to Śrīla Prabhupāda.